Another issue on that reputational risk side is one we've probably all heard a lot of, heard a lot about, just the possibility of, change of culture, change of values over time. So instances like there was a case or instance in the 60s, Baltimore Healthcare Institution that agreed to a whites-only restriction for a building or a new section of a building. Maybe it was okay then, passage of time, not so okay in today's society. Similar example at Vanderbilt, the United Daughters of the Confederacy named a memorial hall, Confederate Memorial Hall. Okay then, not okay now, and now that organization, Vanderbilt, was stuck with the situation of how do we manage this? What flexibility does our gift agreement allow? Does it address the situation, and how do we move forward in a way that's beneficial to us? Similar to that, you see a lot of instances where things change, circumstances change. So the Barnes Foundation case out of Pennsylvania, it was an art collection that was left with some restrictions that it be held and maintained in a particular museum building. And it was kind of out rural area. And as the passage of time, it didn't make sense anymore. And so there was a whole drawn out process in order for the charity to find a way to deal with that because it hadn't been necessarily completely addressed up front. One that I think is really interesting is the issue of conflicts of interest. So there was a case involving Earlham College, and there was a trust set up, basically said income goes to this museum for their needs, kind of as needed, and then everything else from the income goes to the college. All well and good, except that the college was named as trustee. So right there, you've got an obvious appearance of a conflict that could create an issue in and of itself. And as as luck would have it, as things kind of played out, there were actually some allegations of misuse, misallocation, and you kind of blow up for there. So being aware of the possibility of those types of issues arising as you're setting up these restricted arrangements, however they be set up. Donor actions and reputation, another one that you read a ton about in the press. anything from Jeffrey Epstein, that one has been in the news a lot lately. Basically, the situation of donor giving money, charity accepting money, maybe just accepting it, maybe naming a building a scholarship program, whatnot after this donor, and then all of a sudden donor's on the front page of the news for some horrible allegation or, God forbid, convicted of something. And then you're permanently tied. So with Epstein, for example, you had charities having to address the question of, do we give this money back? Is it negative for us to simply hold on to it? And you saw a wide range of reactions. You saw charities that came at it and said, forget it, we don't want it, take it back. We don't want to be associated with this at all. You saw charities that kind of came out and said, well, gosh, we needed this money. We used this money for our good purposes. Sorry, this is very unfortunate, but we can't do anything about it. So thinking ahead of those issues and thinking ahead as to how you might handle them within your gift documentation if and when they were to arise. Lack of clarity, obviously a huge one. I mean, I think the biggest case that we've seen on this is the Princeton and Robertson Foundation case, where it ultimately came down to some ambiguity around how the restricted funds were to be used and some of the administrative provisions relating to the financial management, who would be appointed as financial manager. And this one went on for, I think, over 6 years. Princeton ended up paying out upwards of $50 million in funds and legal fees to kind of move forward from this. So just another good example of the types of things that need to be considered. I blew right past the issue of restrictions that thinking through the issues that restrictions can raise for charities. This one I think is huge, and I bet you have some input on this one as well. But in my mind, and by the way, I don't think we're going to run late on this. This is probably the slide I'm going to spend the most time on in my whole part of the presentation. The process by which a charity decides or development staff decides to take on a gift with restrictions is so incredibly important. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But as far as identifying things that can go wrong, understanding that a donor may ask for restrictions that a charity simply can't handle, whether that be from an administrative standpoint, meeting reporting requirements, compliance requirements. You know, I mentioned kind of those data-driven strategies that we're seeing donors taking, not being able to meet those because maybe this is a one-off gift and you don't do those sorts of things that often. But also thinking through, you know, if a donor is funding a new program, making sure that you have completely thought through how your organization is going to maintain that program long term. Do you have the staffing? Do you have the facilities? Can you address other issues related to that program? Or are you going to get 2 years in and realize that this whole thing is going to fall short? So thinking through that piece of it. The other thing that I see and have seen quite a lot of, a little bit more kind of down market times, but is organizations overfunding an endowment, underfunding operations. So you end up with an organization that has, you know, a lovely $50 million endowment, and that's great, but they can't afford to keep the lights on after the next year and are kind of stuck in that impasse. So really just carefully thinking through the impact of restrictions and not just blindly pushing forward to accept funds.